Blog Talk Radio.
Garage Talk Live. And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is Tuesday, September 4th. Hope everybody had a real nice holiday. The weather was fine for y'all. So, hope y'all tuning in. Big weekend of racing. We had racing Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That's right. So, anyway, where do we begin? We had ARCA out at the DuCoin Fairgrounds for one of their dirt races. NHRA for the big race, wrapping up the regular season for the U.S. Nationals. NASCAR at Darlington. Where does it go on? Where do I begin? So, anyway, well, let's start with the, speaking of Indianapolis for ARCA. This weekend is the Brickyard 400. So, Indy getting a lot of activity. I think if somebody was so inclined, they should have made a good vacation out of it for racing, going for the U.S. Nationals at the fairgrounds, the old O'Reilly Park and yard there. Because Xfinity used to race there, but they moved on to the Brickyard. So, it should be kind of interesting. I think one of these years, I mean, if they all tied it within the, I think you can do a whole month of May if they ran in the Brickyard, the U.S. Nationals, and the Indy 500 all together, that would have been pretty interesting. But I think they like to spread it out. They didn't, so what are you going to do? At least NASCAR and decided to move their race off to the U.S. Nationals, because usually this is before they run it, pretty much early August, like right after Pocono, they used to run it. So it used to be the weekend coming up that would be Richmond, the final race before the chase, or now the playoffs with all the fun and good stuff. And they don't do that anymore, so they did it this weekend because, you know what? What they did was ran the Richmond race off. So Richmond went to two night races this past year. So as a matter of fact, the schedule coming up, this should be the end of the regular season. Let me take a peek. I'll let you all know. For the Monster Energy Cup Series, then the playoffs will start. So we're capping it off. Yeah, this is the finale of the regular season. It's going to be at Indy. Then Vegas is going to kick off the playoffs and then go to Richmond and then Charlotte with the new Roval setup. That will be a Saturday night. That'll be a Sunday afternoon race on regular NBC as opposed to Sportsnet. Matter of fact, Talladega in Kansas will be, but Martinsville in Texas will be on Sportsnet, and then Phoenix and the season finale at Homestead will be on NBC all in the afternoon. I think the only night race coming up from here on out is going to be Richmond in 3 weeks. So Vegas starts the playoffs. Richmond will be round two. Charlotte will be first elimination. Then Dover kicks off the round of 8, 12. They have 16 in. Sorry about that. Round of 12, and then Talladega in Kansas. So Dover is going to be put on the watch list there because it used to be the final elimination race. Now it is the start of round two. So that ought to be pretty interesting. So we'll have to see where that goes. But anyway, let's go out to ARCA, for the General Tire Grabber 100 by Federated Auto Parts. You got a sponsor, tire sponsor and an auto parts sponsor for a 100 lapper at the DuQuoin State Fairgrounds. The winner of the race turned out to be a guy that ran the truck race and almost won at Eldora. Logan Seavey, in case you don't remember that name. He was running real good at Eldora. And wound up getting beat, but I guess the results aren't coming up. It said full results, but I don't know what happened here with Arcus site. But he was driving for Venturini Motorsports. CV with his first career ARC win, because he drove in the truck series before. Took the lead on lap 66 and then wound up leading for the full one, the rest of the 100 laps, though. It was the 50th win for Venturini, and pretty good. But like I said, they've been around in good for him. So, but the points, as they stand, of course, Sheldon Creed actually won the pole. Oh, they're relaunching a new website, so today, so probably why it's a little bit sketchy on the thing here. As far as the points go, Sheldon Creed still leads the points. Zane Smith, the second. Riley Herbst is third. Travis Braden, fourth. Chase Purry is fifth. Gus Dean is sixth. Natalie Decker is seventh, but she's only 10 points out. She had been in the sixth spot, but she had a few, couple of rough races, but, you know, that's going to happen. Joseph Graff is eighth, Brett Holmes ninth, and Brad Smith rounds out the top 10. So as they battle it out, they only have a few races left. I know they run straight through September. And and then they wrap it up pretty soon. See what the rest of the schedule is. Last race will be the next race will be the 7th, which will be on Friday at the Lucas Oil Raceway. Actually, that's in Indianapolis, I believe. Right on the other side of town from the Brickyard. So ARCA will be in Indy. NASCAR will be at Indy. So, and NHRA was just at Indy. So big week at Indy. For everybody coming up. Speaking of those at Indy, NHRA out there wrapping up their regular season. So, interesting. Is NASCAR trying to wrap up their regular season with a la NHRA? We have 6 races to go, kicking off with Maple Grove in 2 weeks. NHRA taking the week off to prep for their playoffs, a six-race playoff. See what happens there. Guess that everybody ending last week couldn't get a guest on. I was shooting for one of the force drivers, Brittany, the defending Top Fuel champ. But anyway, let's see how everybody made out this past weekend. Obviously, I don't have their results either. Now I'll have to go with what I saw. I did watch it, so I won't be able to give you a rundown of who did what. The finals came down to Terry McMillan and Doug Pallitta. Now, Terry McMillan, looking for a win in the Top Fuel Series, had a pretty good year this year. And to win the U.S. Nationals on the final day of the regular season, and up against a guy like Doug Pallitta, as it was off of the tree, reaction time went to Pallitta with an 0.47 to McMillan's 0.71. They qualified pretty close to each other, Pallitta in 11th and McMillan in 13th. But at the 60-foot mark, it looked like Pallitta made up ground. I mean, McMillan made up ground and wound up getting down the track at the 1,000-foot mark with a 4.037. And Pallitta had a 4.067. So 3 one-hundredths were made up by McMillan to give him the win. In the funny car, Matt Hagen up against J.R. Todd. Now, J.R. Todd won this event last year, so he was going for 2 U.S. National wins in a row, which is kind of hard to do. I don't think it's been done too often, and they hadn't done it there. J.R. Todd was the number one qualifier. Matt Hagen was number 3. Off the tree, they were pretty even in 0.52 for Hagen and 0.59 for J.R. Todd. When it got down, as they were getting down the track, it looked like Hagen got to the 60-foot mark, 2 one-hundredths quicker. Wound up being a big win because Hagen had a 4.14 with a 1, and J.R. Todd with a big, I mean big, we're looking at 7 one-hundredths of a second difference at 4.06 with a 2, giving him 2 wins in a row. So, pro stock came down to Tanner Gray and Jake Coughlin, the venerable veteran. I think he's like a 7-time champ in the pro stock division. Versus Tanner Gray, who is basically green around the ears and experience-wise, but he's 19 years old. And his reaction time with a 0.003. But he got down the track with a 6.64 with a 1. Coughlin with an 0.23, and now with a 6.63 with a 9. I mean, we're talking 2 one-thousandths of a second. Coughlin was quicker, but Tanner Gray with a 0.03 reaction gives him the whole shot win. So not only does he take the – so he takes the U.S. Nationals for his first one ever, and – wound up doing something else as well. In pro stock motorcycle, Ellie Tonglet up against Eddie Krawick. Now, Eddie Krawick is usually one of them guys that it's him and Andrew Hines. They race for the same team, both ride Harleys. Usually win on everything they do. But Ellie Tonglet wound up stealing some of the thunder. Both were off the tree pretty even. 0-22 for Conlett, 0-28 for Craywood. Conlett with the Nitrofish paint scheme, which is really cool looking. They used to have it on the Pro Stock division as well in the car, but where you could actually see it. But they stuck with a motorcycle in Conlett. But Conlett wound up with a 686 with a 4, and Craywick with a 688 with a 4. So 2/100ths of a second getting down the track a little slower for Craywick, and he wound up losing to Conlett. In the standings, being everybody's locked in now in Top Fuel, Steve Torrence nails down the number one spot. Clay Milliken. This is the reset going. So the points are going to be 20 between 1 and 2. And then 10 for each spot between places after that. So 20 behind. Milliken's 20 behind. Tony Schumacher is 30 behind. Leah Pritchett in fourth is 40 behind. So on and so forth. This is the reset reseed here. Doug Kalita in fifth. Terry McMillan in sixth, Antron Brown in seventh. Somehow they're tied. Could be wrong. Should be seventh for 60 for sixth, 70 for seventh. Somehow that's listed as a tie. Brittany Force, the defending champ, is eighth. Ninth is Mike Salinas, and tenth is Scott Palmer. Richie Crampton misses the field, so does Blake Alexander. In the funny car division, Courtney Force nails down the top spot. Matt Hagan, who was a runner-up yesterday, is 20 back. Robert Height nailed down the third spot. Ron Capps is fourth. J.R. Todd is fifth. Jack Beckman, sixth. Tommy Johnson Jr. is seventh. Sean Langdon is eighth. John Force is ninth. And Tim Wilkerson edges out Bob Tasca. I said that could go either way in that last event. Well, it comes down to who ran what where. So Wilkerson makes the playoffs. Tasca misses it. And both are driving Fords. Kind of weird how two Ford drivers are battling it out. Tasca, who just got back to full time after securing sponsorship from Ford. They used to be his number one sponsor. And then they, backed out of the division altogether when they pulled out of John Force Racing, and they weren't, no factory sponsorship there. I mean, with John Force Racing, he had Castrol and Ford. Ford was a main sponsor on Tasca with the Motocraft Quick Lube, and they pretty much backed out of drag racing for the most part and stayed with NASCAR and other motorsports, but that's what happened there. But Tasca back in it, so he had a lot of ground to make up, and pretty much did. That just fell a little short. In the Pro Stock division, upon winning the U.S. Nationals, Tanner Gray locks down the number one spot. Greg Anderson, who he was battling with, wound up second. Erica Enders was in third. That's a pretty good seed. She could just maintain that. If she can dump out on Tanner Gray and Greg Anderson early in the next event, she could jump into that spot. She needs the peak at the right time. Jed Coughlin Jr., who lost to Tanner Gray in the finals, is fourth. Vincent Nobile is fifth. Both of those two guys are Erica's teammates. Derek Kramer is sixth. Drew Skillman is 7th. Jason Lyon is 8th. Bo Butner, 9th. Chris McGahey rounds as the locks in at the bubble there, so he don't have to worry about that. Everybody else are racing for trophies and money. So, can always play the spoilers. It does happen. I mean, you can't eliminate your playoff contenders. And Pro Stock Motorcycle, Eddie Krawick locks in the top spot. His teammate, Andrew Hines, number 2. I said they're always up there. Number 3, Ellie Tonglet, yesterday's winner. You can say yesterday's winner because they ran yesterday. Usually I'll say yesterday's winner and they ran Sunday. Today's Tuesday. I mean, just a mental fart by me. Hector Arada Jr. in 4th. Jerry Savoie in 5th. Matt Smith in 6th. Scotty Polacek, 7th. Steve Johnson, 8th. 9th, Angie Smith. And the final lock-in spot, Angel Sampei. She's got a long road to hoe. She has the most NHRA event wins for women, and she's done it in a motorcycle. So she's got a long road to hoe if she wants to get another championship in her. I'm sure she's got a few wins, but championships are a little tough, especially when you're 100 points back. And you only have 6 races to do it in. So we'll just have to wait and see. Anyway, there you go with your NHRA schedule. So we'll see what comes up. Like I said, this weekend, no NHRA racing. They kick off in Pennsylvania Maple Grove Raceway, just outside of Reading, the weekend of the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. So Leah Pritchett, while she didn't win Top Fuel, did win Street Stock. So she goes wire to wire at Indy for the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology, the Factory Stock Showdown, defeating her teammate in an all-Dodge final. So congratulations to Leah. So she's looking to secure a Top Fuel championship. Erica Enders also ran a second class this weekend. She ran the Pro Mod division. So apparently, obviously, she didn't win that one either, but I think she fared a little better. I wish I had the ladder so I could see how everybody ran. But NHRA isn't doing that as well. As far as the upcoming, we'll preview Maple Grove and a couple of the next week's show, so we'll move on from there. On to Darlington. Xfinity Series kicked off Saturday. With the Sports Clips Haircuts VFW 200. Brad Keselowski driving for Team Penske, going for that Owners' Championship, wound up taking the win Cole Custer in the 00 was second, driving for Haas Automation. Might be, wonder if he was driving for Stuart Haas as well. I mean, that is part owner of Stuart Haas Racing. Tyler Reddick was third. Denny Hamlin was fourth. Elliott Sadler, fifth. Chase Elliott getting some Xfinity action as well in the number one car, believe it or not, was sixth in the 23 car, the GMS car. He's him and his dad are bouncing out of that one now. Justin Allgaier, who won the last race, came in seventh. Matt Tift was eighth. Ty Dillon in the three was ninth. And Michael Annette rounds out the top 10. It was Kez's 39th victory in the Xfinity Series. 40 cars made the field. That will be cut down to 38 next year. 6 cautions for 30 laps. 2 of those for stage finishers. So, ten lead changes amongst 5 drivers. The big lap leader was the guy who actually won both stages, Ross Chastain, driving the 42 car. He qualified on the pole as well, but apparently him and Harvick had a little incident there. And some words were said that Chastain did wind up 2 laps down, but he got 2 playoff points. As a matter of fact, let's check the playoffs. Right now it looks like Christopher Bell still leads them with Keselowski winning. That kind of eliminates everything. Chastain with playoff points. C is the bottom. So it's Bell, Allgaier, Reddick, Sadler, Cole Custer. Bell, Allgaier, and Reddick, the only 3 with wins. Sadler, Custer, Hemric, Brandon Jones, Ryan Truex, Austin Cindric, Matt Tift, Ryan Reed, and Ross Chastain are winless, so they are in on points. Matter of fact, I'm going to check the Xfinity schedule. And we should be wrapping it up, the regular season at the Brickyard this coming week. They only have 12, so they're going to chop down to 8 from Vegas to Charlotte. Oh, wait a second. I think Vegas might be the finale of the season. So you got Richmond, we'll chop it down to 8. And then Phoenix will chop it down to 4. So they got a couple more weeks of racing. They got 2 more races to go before their playoffs start. And then the Cup Series, of course, start theirs as well. The Trucks already started theirs. Truck Series are, matter of fact, let's see when they get back in action. They will be back in action at Las Vegas in a couple of weeks as well. So, Truck Series off. They won't be back until Vegas. Xfinity Series goes to Indy. And here's what our winner had to say. Let's hear from Brad Keselowski.
Your attention here in the Jim Hunter Media Center. We are now joined by the race-winning team for the 36th Annual Sports Clips Haircuts VFW 200. That is driver Brad Keselowski of the number 22 Snap-on Ford and crew chief Brian Wilson. We will now open the floor for questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start with Jacob and work our way around.
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport Magazine. Brad, one and then a follow-up. First, when you got the lead there as Ross and Kevin got together, what's going through your mind as you see them crash into the outside and you darted low and just got through there, it looks like?
Yeah, just got through there is the right way of putting it. But I'm sorry, is it Justin?
Jacob.
Yeah, Jacob just got through there. And we had a good little battle going there for the lead between the three of us. And, you know, you hated the race that hard, but the race was on the line and we were in the last stage. And everybody was going for it. And I went for it. And it, like Kevin went for it. And Ross was going for it. And it just, you know, all came together there. You could see it kind of coming, but it was a tough battle, and I'm glad we came out on top. Sometimes you don't come out on top, right? So it makes you appreciate the times you do. And yeah, they got together, looked like a little bit off of two. I couldn't exactly tell what happened. There was a lap car in the whole thing there, and so I saw them, you know, just make a little contact, and I was trying to make a run to pass both of them. The next thing I knew, I was underneath them, and then it looked like Kevin was spinning, and I was trying to get away from him, and I don't know how much I missed him by, but it couldn't have been much. So glad to make it through that. That was certainly a key moment to the race, and we were able to survive and move on and bring it on home from there.
When you were going through that battle and the one time you were racing with Ross, what did you see out of him today, finally being in a top flight ride? What did you see in that battle for the lead with Ross that really impressed you?
Well, he's just driving with a lot of heart. Not really making any mistakes. He certainly earned the opportunity and showing the grit that's needed to make the most of it.
Go next to Bob and then to Christian.
Bob Hockers, ESPN. Ross drove for you, so you know him a little bit. I mean, do you feel like he did enough today to earn more opportunities? Harvick insinuated that the hook, him hooking him at the end, would turn people off.
I didn't see that part there, so I couldn't speak to it, but I mean, I don't know how you can not like seeing a guy go fast. You know, at the end of the day, that's one of the, you know, the backbones of the sport. It's just being able to go fast, and he can go fast, and that's a big part. The rest, you know, you hope comes with it, you know, I can appreciate his work ethic to make the most out of his opportunities.
Next to Christian.
Christian Culley, FrenchStretch.com. Brad, Ross has drove for you in the past, as Bob noted. You know, he got to race against you up front, and, you know, he's normally not up front with you guys. Is there anybody else in the field that you kind of like to see between the Ross that's been given?
Yeah, I mean, how do you pick one? There's a lot of great drivers out there, and from the local level to the Xfinity level, truck level, and even the cup level, that you probably have never had an opportunity in elite equipment. And, you know, it would be interesting to see what they could do. Sorry, my brain's a little frazzled. As soon as I get out of here, I'll have a great answer for that one. But, yeah, there's a lot of great drivers, and I don't know how you pick just one. And I look at the truck and Xfinity level, and, you know, I think Ben Rhodes does a great job. I look at the Xfinity level, and Ross is probably the highest-performing guy for the level of his equipment. And, I'm sure there's a few more in there, but it's just so hard to tell. I've been in those shoes, too.
Brad Keselowski talking about his win and Ross Chastain. And how that goes. On the cup side, as we get close to, we did have some audio here from one in particular, and I just saw it, but I don't see it now. Anyway, I guess Hanson was the musical guest.
Hey, we're going to go ahead and get started with our next press conference. Again, thanks everyone for being here today. Today's national anthem here for the Bojangles Southern 500 will be performed by the iconic group, pop group Hanson, and we're thrilled today to have Isaac, Taylor, and Zach. Welcome to Darlington Raceway. So have you guys had a good time so far?
It's been amazing, yeah.
Yeah, we've had a great time.
What all have you done so far? Someone been giving you a tour of the facility? And
well, we feel like
we noticed your old school here, too. Right?
Well, I'm representing some family. So my granddad on my wife's side worked for Exide Batteries for 50 years, and they were, you know, really passionate about cars and sponsored back in the day. And so this is representing Harold Bryant, this shirt he wore at Exide. So this is part of the throwback, representing his heritage. So my wife grew up in Atlanta, So we go back to, we're kind of in the neighborhood right now.
Yeah, so you, this is a perfect connection with you to be
absolutely
for the throwback weekend here at Darlington.
Yeah.
And you guys were telling me earlier, this is not the first time you've been at a NASCAR event to sing the national anthem.
It's not. I mean, we love getting to sing the anthem. It's a great way to sort of show honor to the event. And I think we've been in Chicago before, outside of Charlotte. We've sung. We actually represented New Mexico City at a special race. That was weird. Different. It was like NASCAR in Mexico, but that was pretty cool. And it's a great way to be a part of an event.
They're both not the guy to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, he seems to want to talk, so, you know, you let your brother do what you do.
Let's open it up for some questions.
They have anthem singers, top band Hanson. They do get some different guys singing. Anyway, on to the cup race as we get ready to wrap up the show for today. We got to make picks for the Brickyard. So on the cup side, sweeping the weekend, driver of the number two, Brad Keselowski, teammate Joey Logano, takes the second spot, dominating the race and having to settle for third, and that's pretty sad. Kyle Larson won both stages, led three times for 284 of the 367 laps. It all came down to a final pit stop. That's how tight it was. Brad Keselowski edged Kyle Larson, just coming across the line, leaving the pits, and was able to do the restart with lane choice and was able to pull away, take the lead and pull away going into the first turn. And Kyle Larson was also caught by Joey Logano after that. So both of them had passed him. And he was still under a threat from Kevin Harvick. But Harvick wound up fourth, starting 22nd. So Harvick was on a roll. And he had a chance to overtake Kyle Larson, which would have put three Fords in the top three spots, but Kyle Larson did recover and wound up only getting two bonus points. If he would have won the race, he'd have got seven for playoff points, and that would have helped a lot. But Brad Keselowski with the win locks him in, so that only leaves one spot that somebody can win to lock in. The rest will be on points. So Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski both have wins this season, so they're locked in. Of course, Joey Logano had it, was it a year ago or 2 years ago, but he had that win taken away. Because failed in post-race inspection. And it was something they deemed serious, so they really penalized him on it. And he didn't make the playoffs that year. But he's in this year, along with teammate Brad Keselowski. Okay, you have Brad K looking for his first, second championship. Joey Logano looking for his first championship. So that'll be interesting when we get down to the playoff coverage. Chase Elliott, who'd been running pretty good of late, wound up fifth. Kurt Busch, sixth. Seventh is Denny Hamlin. Martin Truex was eighth. Ricky Stone, wait a second. Kyle Busch was seventh. Eric Jones was eighth. Jamie McMurray, ninth. And your pole sitter, Denny Hamlin, rounds out the top ten. It was Kez's 25th career victory. Six cautions for 35 laps. Seven lead changes amongst five drivers. Let's hear from Brad. And on his win on Sunday night, actually. So, because that was a night race, because Monday's a holiday.
We're now joined by the winner of the Bojangles Southern 500, Brad Keselowski, driver of the number two Miller Genuine Draft Force.
You don't have any Bojangles laying around, do you?
I can go look.
I could really. I would eat some fried chicken up here if you had it.
All right, we'll go take a look back there for you.
It's all gone? Are you serious? Man. You ate it, the sweet potato pie? You got that left? No, I can't eat that. I like the chicken. Of course. They didn't sponsor the race. They're out of here. Go ahead.
All right. Congratulations, Brad.
Thank you.
Go ahead and open it up for questions. Please raise your hand and state your name and affiliation. We'll start right here.
Who we got
right
over here?
Down here.
It's all right.
Sorry. Trying to get a mic over to him.
You got to sponsor the race to get it, you know. I just feel like that's the deal, you know.
Chris Murdoch,
Royalty over
Media.
Here.
Brad, with not being able to get a win at Darlington and now being able to sweep a weekend and have Rusty Wallace's throwback on the car today. What does this weekend as a whole meant to you?
Oh, man, I'm kind of in the moment right now, and I got out of the car just a little bit dehydrated and had a couple beers, so I'm not sure I got the best answer for that. But I would say it's pretty damn cool. You know, this is such a special racetrack. It always has been, and I think it always will be. And when we added in all this retro stuff a few years ago, it's like a spark that just reignited this track as just being stupid cool. I mean, to win here and to win wearing Rusty's colors and driving his car, it kind of feel like I'm in a dream from when I was 10 years old, you know? But it's something that'll be, I'll carry forever. It's probably the biggest win in my career, especially with it being the weekend sweep at one of the toughest tracks on the circuit, and today was no different. So I'm just really, really thankful, really, really proud, thankful of the team effort that it took to win this race. That last pit stop put me in position, and, you know, of course we had to capitalize on it, but we were in position, and the pit crew nailed it. I got a great launch out of the pit box, and I couldn't have beat Larson by a foot. I haven't seen the pit road cam, but man, that was cool. And I knew if we could get out front, we were really strong on the short runs, not as strong as he was on the long runs. But I knew if we could get out front there with 20 or so to go, that we could drive away. And I was just praying every lap there wouldn't be a caution, you know. And just we were setting sail and just, please, no caution, please, no caution. And it came through for us.
There's your winner, Brad Keselowski, on the throwback weekend. We're driving the Mildred Genuine Draft car of colors of Rusty Wallace, who actually was one of the first, was the first driver for Roger Penske when Penske came to NASCAR, going from Raymond Beadle. So 27 car was the one they showed. I think if they would have waited a year, it would have been the 2 car with those colors, but good old Miller Genuine Draft back on a car instead of that light beer crap. I know people drink Miller Lite. I don't. I don't really like light beer. Don't taste light. Doesn't taste good. So anyway, let's look at Indianapolis. And speaking of Indianapolis, I forgot. The Brickyard also ran. I think I mentioned it earlier, but I never got to wrap it up. Takuma Sato out at the Grand Prix of Portland wound up taking the win. Ryan Hunter-Reay was second. Sebastian Bourdais was third. Spencer Piggio was fourth. Scotty Dixon, fifth. Simone Pagenaud was sixth. Charlie Kimball was seventh. Alexander Rossi, eighth. Pietro Fittipaldi was ninth. I wonder if that's Emerson Fittipaldi's kid or some sort of relative, because you don't see too many Fittipaldis around, and both ran IndyCar. So, I mean, well, Emerson did. He was a big name and won a good bit. And rounding out the top 10 was Joseph Newgarden. Bad day for Will Power, James Hinchcliffe, Graham Rahal. Getting in a bit of a trouble. So he got to go watch wife Courtney Force on Monday, after that on Sunday. Average speed for the winner, 102.9. Time of the race, 2 hours, 9 minutes. Margin of victory, 0.6 seconds. Wow, close one for Indy. 4 cautions for 18 laps. No stage enders. No stages in IndyCar racing. 9 lead changes amongst 6 drivers. As the points, Scotty Dixon with 31. 29-point lead over Alexander Rossi. Joseph Newgarden, he's in third place. Will Powers, fourth. Ryan Hunter-Reay is fifth. Simone Pagenaud is sixth. Robert Wickens is seventh. Graham Rahal, eighth. Sebastian Bourdais, ninth. And tenth in points, the guy who didn't make the Indy 500, James Hinchcliffe, which is kind of weird. Anyway, that's how your IndyCar results ran out. And who do we like for the Brickyard this week? Last year, with his last run in the 5 car, Casey Kane took the Brickyard 400 to make the playoffs. It was his last win in NASCAR. Then he moved on to the other team, and this year he's retiring. Brad Keselowski was second. Ryan Newman was third. So, who led the most laps? Actually, 87 laps led by, Kyle Busch and both stages. Kyle had a rough day yesterday. Might be looking to get back in the groove at Indy. So, we'll just have to wait and see what that's going to turn out. Who am I liking? I don't know. I thought Truex was going to take Darlington yesterday, but he had a rough day as well, and he led twice for 8 laps, got into a wreck after 110 laps. Of course, there's only 167, so he was up at the front when that happened. Kyle Busch was involved, and it looks like they both on the same lap. I'm thinking they took each other out. I would have to see what happened there. So, who do I think is going to win? Let's see, we had a Chevy, a Ford. Kenseth ran that race. I wonder if he's going to be back in the car this weekend. With him and Trevor Bayne were sharing the ride this year for Roush, so I wonder if Kenseth is going to be back in the 6 car. But he was last in this last year, and that race and had a pretty good finish. He did lead for 21 laps. Let's see. Who do I think is going to win? Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to go. I don't think Casey Kane's even going to come close this year. Not in the equipment he is. Nothing against the guy. Nothing against his team. But they are an underfunded team. So I don't see him doing well at this track. He did fairly decent at a couple others. But look who's in that car last year with an 11th place finish. Danica Patrick in the 10 car. It was her last at Brickyard, and she did run the Daytona 500 and the Indy 500 and wound up wrecking. So, sorry about your short career, Danica. We had a lot of fans and the carryover. So, in two careers from IndyCar to NASCAR, and I'm including Xfinity, one win, and that was in Japan. So she is an IndyCar winner. She did lead the Indy 500 for a while, till about 4 laps to go when they gambled on fuel, and they had to come in for fuel. So she is the highest finishing woman at Indy, so can't deny her that. But she came in with a lot of expectation, and it didn't kind of work out for her. But anyway, who am I going to go with here? Why am I leaning towards Kyle Busch this week? I mean, Keselowski did come in second. He only led twice for 23 laps. Casey Ken led twice for 12, but that was the right 12. The end of it. So I'm going to have to go with Mr. Kyle Busch. I know I picked him the other time, and Kurt Busch wound up winning, so I'm looking for Kyle to have another good day. He's due for another one. He needs to tie Harvick for the playoffs, but as of right now, Harvick has 7 wins and Kyle has 6 wins. And playoff points, which carry through all the way to the championship race at Homestead, could make the difference. Kyle's only 5 behind Harvick. So, and you only get playoff points for winning stages. So I think Kyle Busch is going to be on a mission. As far as the points go, Harvick was 7. Kyle Busch with 6, Truex with 4 wins. In third spot, Clint Bowyer. He's in fourth with 2 wins. Kurt Busch has 1 win. Joey Logano with 1 win. Chase Elliott with 1 win. Eric Jones with 1 win. And they're showing no wins for your Daytona 500 winner, Austin Dillon. So he must have been wiped from his record for playoffs. But he's only showing 2 playoff points. Keselowski will bump ahead of him with 1 win. Austin Dillon will drop down. Then you have Ryan Blaney. Kyle Larson, who is desperately looking for a win. But he did get 2 playoff points. Denny Hamlin is winless. Eric Almirola is winless. Jimmy Johnson. Rough day for Jimmy. He had oil pressure problems and had to park it early. And then Alex Bowman. We only have 1 more week. Who's going to win this week to lock that spot? So you have 8 different winners. Who's going to be the 9th? Well, 9 different winners. Who's going to be the 10th for playoff purposes? Austin Dillon did win the Daytona 500, so that's not counting for the playoffs. So, but he's still in the playoffs. He's high enough in points that it should do him any good. Anyway, hope you all enjoyed today's show. We'll be back next week to wrap up all this fun stuff and see who's going into the playoffs. We know who's going into the playoffs. Who's got the best shot going into round 1 of the playoffs, wrapping up at Indy when they head out to Las Vegas. Sin City kicking off the playoffs this year, and then Richmond, then Charlotte. That's round 1, Charlotte being the first eliminator on the all-new Roval. We're not going oval racing. We're going Roval racing. So it should be interesting. And the only road course in the playoffs, because you figure they run Sonoma and Watkins Glen, so this is going to be a different take. You know, it was good to see that. You have short track of Richmond and Martinsville, and you have all your cookie cutters. You have Talladega, your cookie cutters of Texas, Kansas, and Vegas. Dover is the Monster Mile, always a fun race there. Totally different. So, and then Homestead, which is 1.5 miles, but it's not kind of configured like the others. So anyway, that's our show for today. Hope you all enjoyed it. I'm Vince Bonfigli. We will see you all next week. Good day. Good racing. Bye now.